I was telling the men in the men's prayer meeting this morning that one morning I turned the radio on about 5 o'clock when I got up, and the speaker, I don't remember his name, said he was teaching on Noah and the ark, and he said, "Can anybody tell me Noah's wife's name?" And somebody stood up and said her name was Joan of Arc. They got two different histories messed up, I think, from what's there. But it's good to see you this morning. I'm sure you'll be glad when your pastor gets home. And I'm sure he's waiting patiently to get home as well. But until he gets here, we'll just say, simply, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God is so good, and yet mankind is so naturally when we come to the Word of God. And I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter number 17 this morning, verse number 11. And I'm want to talk to you for just a few moments this morning on where are the nine? Where are the nine? It's always, as a preacher and a pastor, it's always been heartbreaking that we see people come into the house of God and they respond to the gospel message and they bow on their knees and confess their sin and repent and invite Christ in. And then many of them get up and walk out the door and never return. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but I know how I feel about that. Something doesn't ring the bell just right. There is some cause that is there. And we're going to see if we can find part of that this morning and find out what some people in the Bible did in the light of what's going on. And of course, in this passage of Scripture, we got 10 lepers that got healed, and when one of them realized what had happened, he turned and went back and thanked the Lord for doing that. But Jesus asked him, "Where are the other nine?" So let's pick it up in verse number 11 and begin to read. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Matter of fact, if they had leprosy in that day, and they was out in the public, they had to walk around and constantly say, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And we got a lot of folks in Washington, D.C. that ought to walk around and say that too. And verse 13, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." We got some other stories in the Scriptures as well about the Samaritan people. "And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, the word 10 in the Scriptures has somewhat to do with the thing called testimony. And I'd like to ask that same question that Jesus asked in this passage of Scripture. Where are the nine? Our houses were basically pretty well full before the pandemic took place. And now we're trying to recuperate from all of that. And my question is, where are the nine? We got the one back, but where are the nine? They're somewhere, and most of them don't go anywhere. And I'm fixing to say something that some of you might get upset with me about, but you can't worship Sunday morning when you know church is going on, sitting home watching the TV, because about the time the preacher gets ready to get into his message, there's a commercial comes on the TV or the bathroom calls, and you miss the important part of the message that is there. The best thing to do is honor the Word of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some already is. So we've already been warned that it's going to take place. It is taking place, and it could get worse than what it is. And so we need to listen. And I'm going to name some people out of the Scriptures this morning to try to drive this thing home to us. I believe as a believer in Christ, I believe that everything that I do ought to revolve around the church. I am a church man. And I believe it all ought to operate. I don't care what we take up to do. It ought to be associated with the church somehow or another. And God gives us example after example in the Scriptures of some people who've done some different things. And we'll try to see that. First of all, I want you to think about, there is one sitting at home with a family this morning. And Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26, I believe it is, says, "If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, the word hate here, in the light of father, mother, sister, and children, and the brethren, carries a different meaning than most people want to put with it today. But I find it all through, beginning in the book of Genesis, going through the book of Revelation, that if I obey God and I fulfill the commandment of God, and that's the whole Word of God now, my place is in the house of God when the doors are open. I need the fellowship of you believers in Christ, and you need the fellowship of other believers in Christ. And we ought not be sitting at home on the stool to do nothing. We ought to be in the house of God doing something called P-R-A-I-S-E. Praise. One in the Bible says, bought ground and cannot come. That's unusual. Buying a piece of property that you have never even looked at. All you might be getting is a briar patch and nothing you can grow anything on. Then on the other end is bought a yoke of oxen and cannot come. I don't know why you want to buy something to work with and don't check it out to see where it'll work. I mean, that's why you're buying the oxen, is to break up the ground so you can plant it. And if they won't work together, you're sure not going to get it. You can't put an ox and a mule together and fly them, because one pulls harder than the other, and one wants to move faster than the other. So you got something that you can't handle when you get out there. One fellow bought a mule, and he was told when he bought the mule that it would do anything the man wanted it to do. And so the man took the fellow's word and bought the mule. Next day, he hooked him up in the early morning hours and had to go out in the field and to plow. But he couldn't get the mule. He'd done everything he could to get the mule to do. So he went back to his friend and neighbor and said, you lied to me. That mule won't do anything. Oh, he said, I've never seen the mule when he wouldn't. So he said, let's go over and check this thing out. So when they got over there, they hooked the mule up and put him to the plow and said, get up. He didn't move. The man that sold him picked up a 2x4 and slapped him upside the head and said, come up and the mule move. And he said, you have to get his attention first. My beloved, let me tell you something. You don't want God to send you down behind the barn and teach you a lesson. I can tell you that. You say, how you know? I've already been down there and I don't intend to go back. Another one, if anybody had an excuse, maybe this man could have had an excuse. I don't know. But another, the Bible said, married a wife and could not come. I told somebody the other day, I'd learn right quick, like after I married, how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And so here it is. Now, you don't want God to take a whack at you. I cannot ever remember my daddy whipping me over one time, and it was such a whipping, I never forgot it. My mother whipped us three boys 3 times a day just to stay in practice. Whether we need it or not, that's another story. Here it is. But listen, I know sometimes we're disabled and things happen in our life that we cannot come to the house of God. Matter of fact, some of us have been named already this morning. And God understands that. But to deliberately lay out of the house of God is something different. And don't tell me that God can't give you enough strength to get here when you need to be in the house of God. And if you don't believe it, just try praying a little bit. The Bible says, if you'll call unto me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Then I find there's another person in the Word of God, and it's the one that's asleep in the garden. In Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 36, the Bible said, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Now, there's something strange. Jesus took 3 of them with him, and they sat down, and he said, I'm going to go just yonder a little way, and I'm going to pray. And when he come back, what happened? He found them asleep. And he woke them up. He talked to them a little bit. Then he went and prayed again. Come back and found them asleep. And the scripture says he went and prayed the 3rd time. And when he got back, he found them asleep again. They were asleep on the job. I found out that there are some things you don't do. I've been to off the coast of one of the islands in the Pacific. We launched our motor launches one day when I was in the Navy. And one of the fellows who got in his boat, reached and got the flag and hung it upside down. He didn't pay attention to what he was doing. He wasn't deliberately hanging it upside down, but he did. But he got court-martialed for it, for flying the flag upside down. And sometimes I'm afraid, my friend, if we're asleep on the job in Christianity, some soul is going to slip into hell because we're not on the job. We're asleep. And we don't need to be asleep. I don't mean to be harsh. I don't mean to be unkind. But God likes somebody that's a little bit lively. Everybody tells me I don't look my age, and I still get around fairly well. But as I said already, since I've been here, my nickname anymore is Snap, Crackle, and Pop. When I get up, this bone cracks, that joint cracks, or squeals, or hollers, or does something. But I found out being a country boy that when your joints ache, when the mule's joints would swell up or something of that nature, and they always kept a bottle of liniment around to rub him down with. I have liniment at my house and I use it. I'm not afraid to use it. I want to keep moving. I want to be loose. And I think I can run a little faster than the president, and I'm older than him. And so here it is. And then I find also there's a third person. It's one who is warming by the devil's fire. You ought to know who that is already. That's Mr. Peter, the Apostle Peter. I mean, even when he was at the warming at the wrong fire, somebody said to him, "You're one of them." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." He even denied the Lord Jesus Christ, being one of the apostles. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't just do it one time, he done it more than one time. Luke 22:55 says, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down amongst them." Faithless, they would rather have the praise of men than the power of God. Will you let me move a little bit off to one side of that? We got people in the pulpit in America today. I'm not talking about some foreign country now. But we got people called with preacher hung on their name that is absolutely denying the authority of this book that I'm looking at. The church that, listen to me now, the church that ordained men like that ought to recall their ordination papers. If you're not going to preach what's in this book, shut up. Boy, there's some awful frowns out there. I love preachers. And I love to preach. When I sit out there in that pew and the preacher's up here preaching, I got one thought that just, Brother Huff and I was talking about this a while ago. I got something back here somehow or another stirring my mind, and it is saying, "I want to be up there. I want to be up there. I want to be up there." And I believe the song leader ought to be like that as well. I want to be up there leading singing. And the Sunday school teacher ought to want to be in their Sunday school class teaching the Word of God. Listen, that's the greatest opportunity you will ever have, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to listen to God. And then I find, listen to this. How about the prodigal son? He had everything. I mean, he had a good daddy. He had a good father. I'll give you some scripture part there, the word father. But he had a good father. He was being well taken care of. But he wasn't happy at home. "I can do better out on my own, so I'll leave. Just give me my inheritance, and I'll leave home." And he did leave home. But what happened to him? Money finally run out, and friends walked away from him, and he wound up eating hog slop. If you know what that word slop means. And so think about it. In other words, he wasn't happy at home. Like we got our young people today. They can't wait to get away from home so they can fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the flesh will send you to hell. I'll even be stronger than that, ladies and gentlemen. Religion will send you to hell. I don't have religion. I have salvation in Christ. I am a Baptist by recognition of name. And if you want me to go even further than that, I'd rather be known as a Biblist than a Baptist. You say, why? I believe this book from cover to cover. I'm so naive that I think the word Holy Bible on the front is inspired. By the way, that word Bible just means the Word of God. And so, here we go. And I like the next one. Then we have somebody by the name Jonah. Jonah was called to preach. He was supposed to go somewhere and preach the gospel. But he decided, I'm not going to mix with that crowd. So he went and took a boat. Decided he'd go in a different direction. A storm came up and the boat crew knew that somebody on that boat that God had something against because they wasn't doing what God did. And they began to ask questions. Finally, Jonah confessed that he's the one asking to be thrown over the side of the boat. And isn't it amazing? God had a whale for Jonah to take a submarine ride in. I said submarine because he's underwater. Now Jonah's got seaweed probably wrapped around his head and part of his body and whatever. This scripture doesn't tell us. I'm saying that. And Jonah realizes that he's broken his vow with God to deliver the Word of God. And Jonah begins to pray. I'm pretty sure it wasn't a long prayer. But let me tell you something. This might, Brother Charlie, this might have been good to even go with your lesson this morning. But that whale, listen to me now, that whale would have never, by the way, somebody just said, there wasn't nothing about a whale in the Bible swallowing him. You better read your book again. It is there. But God, when Jonah began to pray, that whale got the bellyache. And he regurgitated him up. The pigmentation of his skin might have been gone after being in there with all those strong juices in the body of that whale. But I've seen whales. I've been up in the North Atlantic when I was in the service. And I saw whales that weighed tons. Their mouth was big enough probably to get two of us in. And in there. And those kind of things. And don't tell me that the juices in that fish is not strong. You catch a fish and you leave the hook in him, and in about 3 days, the juices in that body of that fish will rust that hook completely out of that fish's mouth or body. And so here it is. He's in the whale. And I believe we got a lot of folk in our churches today that are just about ready to be swallowed by the whale. By the way, Jesus does say, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. I'm a child of the King. And as a child, Brother Gillis, as a king, I want to be recognized as one of his young ones. I just don't want to be saying, there goes so-and-so down the street. No. There goes a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I find also there's one under the Jupiter tree as well. His name is called Elijah. And in 1 Kings chapter 19 in verse number 5, and as he lay and slept under a Jupiter tree, behold then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now Elijah is running from something. I mean, he's just Can't face it. But what is he running from? You don't find many women, I don't think, named what he was running from. He's running from Jezebel. Jezebel is threatening to kill him. But folks, listen. The world, I tell you, can kill your body and my body. But if we're believers in Christ, they haven't killed us. They just destroyed the flesh part that's there. They haven't touched the soul. God's in charge of the soul, and he's going to decide what happens to the soul. If it's saved, it's going to be with Christ. If it's lost, it'll be interned in hell where God sends it. And I say to you that there's no need for us to run around being discouraged all the time as Elijah was. Thank God there's a better day coming. Just one more hill, just one more valley, just one more obstacle. And thank God we'll hear the voice out of Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 1 when it says, come up hither. One day we're going to rise above all this stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be in the presence of the Son of God, and we'll shout hallelujah for eternity as we praise and worship and honor our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you ought to get used to doing it before you ever leave here. You might even shock the devil and he'd have a heart attack and die if you get happy in the Lord every now and then. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You think about that. I mean, God is so good. And God is so gracious. He allowed you to get up this morning. Let me start up better than that. God is so good, he woke you up this morning. He is so good, he let you sit up this morning. He's so good, he let you get up this morning. He's so good, he let you stand up this morning. He is so good, he let your eyes open this morning. He even let your mouth open up so you could satisfy another part of your body as you ate the ham and eggs and sausage and biscuits and all that kind, milk and cereal and all of that. And to think about that. And so we need to think about what God has done for us. Then I find down in Sodom, there's somebody called Lot. Now, Lot is a saved man. Don't forget that. If you don't believe it, go over to Hebrews and read it, you'll find out. We may find that out this afternoon, too. But anyway, he's there. But Lot... Lot is backsliding on God. And if you don't believe that people backslide, you come to Sunday school, you got a teacher teaching the book of Jeremiah, and you'll find a lot about backsliding in the book of Jeremiah. And so here we are. And because you know the story in Genesis 19 about all of that. But Lot took his family down to Sodom, and knowing that he ought not go there, that's where all that particular crowd was at that time. And so, and I'm not afraid to say the word of God, just trying to be kind and gracious. But here it is. He lives amongst that crowd. They had no respect for him. And when you're a believer and you tell people you're Christ and you live like hell every day, they're not going to believe you. They're not going to accept what you're doing. And so here it is. And here it all is, ladies and gentlemen. God has laid it out to us. And what happened? There came a day that God sent some angels and told him he better get out of Sodom. And he said, when you leave Sodom, don't look back. I don't even like to have to go in a grocery store where they sell booze to buy my groceries. I think some good-hearted person ought to be able to. Well, if he did, he'd go broke because a liquor crowd would stay out of there. And all of that kind of stuff. I know what bootleg liquor is because I've been around where they had steel zipped for the good portion of my life. I know when you buy what they call moonshine is, they've been dead possums in it, dead raccoons in it, been dead rats in it, been all kinds of bugs in it when it's cooking it all. And you take a big swallow of that and have to have a Pepsi Cola, Coca Cola, so you can all go, that sure is good. You're sick. You're sin sick. But think about it. What happened to Mrs. Lot, you know? She turned back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. When I was in the Navy, you'd been in the Navy over 4 years, they called you a salty sailor. Most of them lived that way too. Then I find one is hypnotized by a false religion. At one time, I read that every month out of the state of California, there was 200 or better religions started out of the state of California. You think about that. It's all around us anymore. It's not just in California. It's either like God has planned it and programmed it in this book, or it's not real. If you deny the birth of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, some of the new translations said a young woman. There's some of you ladies in here like to be young again. But you know what I'm talking about without me even saying another word in that light. But the Bible says that it would be a virgin who brought forth the Son of God. And all of those, some of you probably still watch a person out of Louisiana. I'll not call his name. But out of Louisiana. But I heard him one day on the radio speaking when he said in the book of Revelation you could find 7 raptures. No, if you can find 7 raptures in the book of Revelation, you found a rupture. You said, you ought not be criticizing folk, preacher. Tell the truth, and I don't have to bring it up. Galatians chapter 3:1. O foolish Galatian, who hath bewitched you, or who has fooled you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. If you read in the book of Hebrews, you find out that if you do deny, and this is me talking now, that if you deny the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're crucifying Christ all over again. I believe that's in chapter 6, 4 through 6, those verses. And to think about what's going on there. And the word bewitched literally means that you've been hypnotized. You go to the palm reader. Or you read the coffee leaves or the tea leaves. Why don't you just pick up the Bible and read the Bible? You get a whole lot more of it. Brother Chris, I found out, I thought I knew what love was about till I really got to studying the Bible. And I found out what real love is all about. Because there's nothing like the love of God that He has for mankind. Even if you're as mean as a devil, He still loves you. He's never lied to you. He never will lie to you. And then I find some that are in the graveyard. My mother and father is buried outside of Thomaston, Georgia on 19, a little way out of Thomaston, Georgia. My father-in-law and mother-in-law is buried within the city limits. And my wife is also buried within the city limits. Their bodies may be in those graveyards. And it probably won't happen. Brother Huff, when the rapture takes place, I'd like to be standing about halfway between where my wife and mother-in-law and father-in-law are buried and where my mom and dad is buried, and watch as those graves burst open and they come lifting up the out of the grave. And all of us with a transformed body would rise up together to meet the Lord in the air and so ever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One day there's going to be a great reunion day. And I'm sort of looking forward to it. I believe I'm closer than I've ever been before. In 1 Corinthians we find something that is very strange. We find a stepson living with his stepmother. I'm not talking about living in the house with her. I'm talking about living with her. There's another situation that you find. Wouldn't it be awful one morning we come into church and somebody's got their name on Gilead's Road and they lie to God that when they start taking up the offering and all of a sudden they just drop over dead? It happened. With Ananias and Sapphira. They picked him up. He lied. He come into church first and he lied. And the men of the church took him out and buried him. Wasn't long till his wife came in. They asked her the same questions and they got the same answers and she dropped dead right there. I know of one situation that didn't quite happen like this, but I know of one situation up in Gainesville, Georgia. One of the deacons would always say, I want to die in the house of the Lord. I want to die in the house of the Lord when I die. God honored that one Sunday night as they were singing and the preacher just got up to preach. The deacons in that church sat on the front row, the two front seats here on the front of the church. And that particular deacon who had been saying he wanted to die in the house of God fell over dead right there in the front of that pew. The preacher said he wanted to die in the house of God. Pick him up, lay him on the pew. I'll cut my message short, but I'm going to preach part of my message and then we'll get him out of here. And they did that. The man got his wish. He died in the house of God. But here, they're dying because of their attitude toward the Lord Jesus and making a mockery out of the service of God and the Word of God, and it won't done. And as I said a while ago, and I'll close with this, let me tell you one more time. If Jonah hadn't repented and prayed, he'd still be in the belly of the whale. If you're here this morning and you're here without Christ, you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ, you never admitted that you were a sinner and you needed help, and needed help badly, my dear friend, you'll die without Christ and you'll go to hell. But you don't have to go to hell. There was one day that hung yonder on the cross of Calvary. He took your sin, my sin, everybody's sin upon His own shoulder and paid the sin debt that you and I could know the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. And if you'll listen to the voice of God today and pay attention to the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God, you can walk out of this building with assurance that I'm going to heaven because I've done what God asked me to do in the Word of God. I'm trusting God. I am not trusting me. I'm not trusting somebody else, but I am trusting God. And I'm going to walk out of here knowing that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, you've never had a friend like Jesus. There's not another like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never be happy without the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Never. You might laugh every now and then, but it's probably a shallow laugh, and it just won't work. It just won't work. I ask the question again. Where are the nine? They were 10 men that came, and they all walked away knowing that God had healed him. Only one recognized that he'd been healed. He turned around and fell and praised and worshiped God. And we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today ought to stand up with raised up arms and say, glory to God, hallelujah, I know Him, I know Him, I know Him, I know Him. And you're not going to take that away from me. I got a fair education, but you can't take it away from me. I've got it. And if I know I got a fair education this morning, let me tell you something else. I can know whether or not I'm saved. And I know as a 14-and-a-half-year-old boy at Shiloh Baptist Church in Thomaston, Georgia on Highway 19, I know when I went forward that morning, nobody took the Word of God and opened it up and prayed with me and showed me things in the Scripture to try to help me to know how to be saved. If the Holy Ghost of God hadn't have been there that morning, I would have still been lost and damned for hell. And I'm saying I'm glad that He showed up. I'm glad that He still is showing up. I'm alive forevermore. You may lay this body out yonder in the cemetery one day, but I assure you I'm not there, Brother Gillis. You only laid this carcass down in a bed for a little while. One day Jesus will open up that casket and open up the ground, and my soul will come out of there and fly off. Well, it did when I died, when I will die. Absent from the body. Are you listening? Absent from the body and what? Present with the Lord. I mean, not 10 years later, not 5 years later, not 1 year later, not 1 second later. The moment the breath leaves your lungs, if you're saved, you're already in the presence of God. Hallelujah for salvation. I hope you're not one of the 9 that didn't come back. I hope you're one of those who ran to Jesus and fell in His arms and said, Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy on me, Lord. Save me, save me. I'm lost and undone. I'm on my way to hell. Lord, rescue me. Pick me up. Pull me into Your arms and make me a child of God. Are you saved? And do you know you're saved? That's the question you have to settle this morning. Let's stand together.